Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Full of Energy, an AEE podcast. I'm your host, Laurie Beth. We're so excited to offer a platform for our members to share their knowledge and have essential discussions on creating a clean and sustainable future. The Association of Energy Engineers, otherwise known as AEE, is a professional organization of over 17,000 members and 25,000 certified individuals in over 100 countries. AEE serves your needs for career development, networking, and recognition. Today, we have a topic critical for workforce development: diversity, equity, and inclusion. Joining us are two AEE rock stars, Dr. Fatou Al-Ragam, the current AEE president of the board, and Laurie Wingan Jackson, AEE past president and current Seawell president. Dr. Fatou Al-Ragam is the Energy Efficiency Technologies Program Manager at the Kuwait Institute for Scientific Research. Fatou holds a PhD in mechanical engineering from the University of Florida, Gainesville. Fatou has received several recognition awards, including the Emirates Energy Award, the Federation of Arab Engineers Distinguished Female Engineer for the State of Kuwait, and the International Professional Development Award from AEE. Laurie Wingan Jackson is a successful entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience in the energy industry. As president and founder of Utility Advantage, Laurie supports the company's strategic initiatives with her national experience, including wholesale and retail energy markets, utility energy efficiency programs, and clean energy. Ms. Wingan Jackson served as president of AEE in 2007. She received AEE's Distinguished Service Award and was inducted into the Energy Manager Hall of Fame in 2016. In addition, she's the founder of the Council for Women in Energy and Environmental Leadership, or Seawell, fulfilling her commitment to supporting the success of women in the energy industry. I could talk for hours about both of these strong women's accomplishments in their energy careers, but I'm sure you'd rather hear from them. So Fatou, Laurie, let's get started with your personal definition of what diversity, equity, and inclusion means to you. Fatou?
Hi, everyone. In my perspective, I mean, the way that I look at diversity and equity is basically when you have like a group of people who are like different from each other, who can come together in a place, whether it's a workplace or any setting, and they can bring a lot to the table. See, the thing is, when we think about diversity, like if you give anything, any topic for any two different human beings, they would think differently. And that's why diversity is important and inclusion. So when we bring different people from different parts of the world, females and males to the table, they would bring a lot to the company or the society or whatever the setting is.
Yeah, I could just add to that, Fatou, that from my perspective, the idea of the diversity, equity, and inclusion is to give everyone the opportunity to thrive and fulfill their greatest potential, and while being truly valued for their contributions and equally valued. And that means equal opportunities. It means equal pay. It is about creating that environment where we can be creative. We can use our talents, which are so, you know, unique, as you say, to each individual, really to bring those together to the benefit of whatever it is that the organization is trying to accomplish.
So Laurie, what was that aha moment that this was your career path?
Yeah, aha moment. So I think it was a lot of things that led up to the point of me finally acknowledging that this was definitely my path. But it started with the support of my father, who was also an engineer and strongly encouraged both his sons and daughters, including myself, to pursue education first and foremost, the value of an education, and then to consider science, technology, math, engineering, areas that I really enjoyed. I went to study engineering in college, but after a year and a half was really not certain that this was the path I wanted to take. It was challenging. I wasn't totally being fulfilled, and I was kind of confused about it, but I took a semester off and tried other things. And the aha moment for me was really in trying those other things, missing engineering and saying, yes, that is definitely where I want to be. And then the other aha moment for me was when I was allowed to manage the utilities energy efficiency program. I had not been introduced to energy efficiency really at that point, but in managing that program, it opened my eyes to the potential impact that I could have in the field of energy efficiency. And that for me was a huge aha moment.
Fatou, what about you?
Well, my aha moment came a while ago. I mean, since I was young, actually, I was always drawn to STEM. I always loved science topics. So since high school, I've recognized that this is going to be my path. But I didn't know what exactly I wanted to pursue till I joined some training program at the place that I'm working right now in, which is the Kuwait Institute for Scientific Research. So I've joined the summer training program for high school students. And since then, I got introduced to renewable energy and specifically solar energy. And of course, why not? Since I live in Kuwait, where the sun shines almost 365 days a year. So I was like, I was interested in that field. Then I decided that that's gonna be my path and I would like to pursue that. And I was so determined since then. And I've decided that this is gonna be my career. And this is how I pursued it. I've joined the university. I got into mechanical engineering and I continued all my degrees in mechanical engineering since that moment.
So Fatou, what do you see as the most challenging aspect of an increasingly diverse community? And what steps have you taken to meet some of those challenges?
It's sometimes like you can be underestimated in terms of what you can bring to the table. And especially in my field, like in mechanical engineering, which is mainly male-dominated field, there were a lot of challenges. Like even if you walk into certain training courses or classes, you know, where you would be the only female. So there are some challenges with respect to that. And the steps actually that I've taken is basically just to pursue what I want to pursue. Like, for example, if I attended a training course and I was like, that actually happened to me when I was taking a training course in a garage where I was learning about engines and stuff like that. And everyone there wanted to help me out and do things for me. And they were not allowing me to touch the engine. And I was like, I came to that place in order to touch the engine, to learn what's going on. You know, I don't mind being dirty and getting oil on me and stuff like that. So, I mean, sometimes you just have to stay the course and it takes a lot of power. So not to be discouraged, just stay focused on what you want to achieve. And no matter what, stick to that path and pursue it. The challenges can be different. It can be challenges with respect to the situation you're in as a mother or as a wife or whatsoever, but you just have to stick to the course and seek the support of others. It's very important to seek the support of others. I wouldn't have been where I am without the support of my mentors, my family members, whether it's my husband or my kids, father and brothers. All of these supporters are actually, the support is very, very important to stay the course.
Lori, what about you?
So I think that's such an interesting question because we do work in a very male-dominated industry. And while we've been trying to the best of our abilities, increase the diversity within the sector, you know, we still have such a long way to go. But as diversity does increase, I mean, I do think that there are challenges, maybe I call them opportunities, that come from a workforce that is going to have different needs and expectations. And so I think organizations need to be prepared to listen to that increasingly diverse workforce, diverse in age, diverse in ethnicity, diverse in gender, you know, really listen to the changing needs of that, of their employees or of the people within their organizations, and be prepared to change. You know, I think that change makes some people anxious. It, you know, some people resist change, but change in this case of, you know, those things that are associated with bringing greater diversity are going to bring a lot of really good benefits along with that change. So it's positive change, you know, change for the good, change for the better. But I do think that that is probably the biggest challenge of increasing diversity, is to handle the change that comes along with it.
I think you bring up a really great point, and it makes me wonder, like, why don't you share the story of how you became the founding member of SeaWill, and maybe why SeaWill was such a great addition to AEE?
Sure. So in 2007, as you said in the introduction, I served as president of AEE, and I had really had such a great experience within the organization, starting as the local chapter president in New Jersey. I mean, really just starting as one of the few, if not often only, women members attending meetings, but then being encouraged by the board of all men who also were either a little bit older than me or quite a bit older than me at the time. And so I took on some leadership positions and ultimately served as president in 2007. But what really stood out was that need to bring more women into the organization. And I thought, what could I do to make that happen? And I had a lot of support from some of the most significant leaders within the organization, including Al Thuman and Fred Goldner and others, who encouraged this concept of creating a division within AEE to achieve that mission of increasing the diversity by bringing more women in. And initially, it started out just as networking opportunities for women to meet each other and not feel so alone or isolated. But in bringing women together, a lot of great ideas came out of that, such as, you know, forming a formal organization beyond networking, providing mentoring and scholarships and, you know, programming. And that all has been so fully supported by AEE, including, you know, from the highest level executive director to all of the staff, that, you know, we now are a global organization with representation with SeaWill groups in, you know, I think it's at this point 14 countries in Africa and Asia and Europe and South America, and I think 30 plus, maybe actually I think it's 40 now, chapter liaisons in the United States working with local AEE chapters to expand SeaWill. So, you know, it just started by the obvious, looking at the room and seeing that there weren't many women represented and that we needed to do something to help change that.
Fatou, you also have a very interesting pathway to presidency through AEE as the first international woman president of AEE here in 2022. So do you mind sharing a little bit about your journey from where you started and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so that was a very interesting journey. Actually, how did I come across AEE? I was appointed to take leadership position for a project on energy auditing. And at that point in time, I did not know what did that mean. So I was looking online to seek like learning opportunities. And this is how I came across AEE. That was in 2000. And then I joined the association, and I loved that how the association provides a different learning platforms for whoever is interested in energy engineering. So I started learning the concept, and I decided since then this is an association that I would like to belong to, and I would like to take it and carry it further by establishing a chapter. And that took a lot of effort to bring people together and start the board and start the local chapter. And it took us a while, actually. And I started learning, like contributing, attending training courses online and also joining in-person training. And then I started the certification path. And I probably ticked almost everything with AE in terms of learning experiences. And joining committees. So it was a gradual, like professional development. See, it takes a lot of volunteering from the member side, but along the way you learn when you volunteer in these activities, like when you sit in committees, there is like indirect coaching that you learn how to communicate with others and resume leadership positions, start strategic thinking. All these things are benefits that you get along the way. So then I went for my PhD to study. And when we received the charter for our chapter, I was not there. That was in 2006 or 2008. Yes. So, and I was not there. But then when I came back after I finished my PhD and I became the chapter president for Kuwait chapter, and then I started also serving in certification committees and the International Leadership Committee and many more. And then I became the assistant director for the international membership development. So with AEE, there are several roles. Once you prove that you're committed, you tend to be serve in these roles. And along the way, you develop your leadership skills. So the path to presidency takes several years, you know. But if you follow the right steps with the right direction from all of, like, I would call them brothers and sisters within the association rather than colleagues, you will make it to that level. And then, of course, once you resume all these positions and then you become elected as a secretary and then you become the president-elect and then the president. So it took me, I would say, 22 years to reach that position, but it is worth, I mean, investing these 22 years, and I can do it again and again, even if it takes me many more.
Wow. Thank you both for sharing your stories. And it leads me to the next question, which is, what advice would you give a young student entering STEM or energy?
See, I mean, I think like a lot of the young girls and women, they're interested in the STEM field, especially nowadays. I mean, with there is so many learning opportunities online, unlike before. The only thing is sometimes they underestimate what they can bring to the table. I mean, as males and females, we think differently. And we all know that our brains function in a different way. It's basically to complement each other, rather than to act individually. And that's why it is important to continue in that field. It is important for us to innovate. The way we think about developing products or how we would serve certain things, I mean, like it makes us think differently. And this is very much needed in STEM field. Look at the various inventions, what women invented, like even the rear camera, that was something that invented by a woman. I mean, the way we think about things and how we care about each other, as this is our nature as a woman, she's supposed to be a nurturing being. So our brains think differently in that regard. So it is very much needed to stay the course and contribute to the STEM field. I would encourage them always to be engaged and to network, and also to seek someone to mentor them. Having a mentor, whether it's a male or a female, it actually can encourage a person, especially during difficult times where you start questioning yourself, am I on the right path? because of certain things that happens to you, whether a person gets sick or she gets married or she has babies. And this is where most of the women leave or like what they were committed to. But if they had the right mentors, they will tell them and explain to them, this is natural and you're gonna go through it. And it's okay to slow down. Like for me, look at me. I went and I studied for my PhD when my both of my kids were in high school. It was a difficult time, but I mean, I managed to stay the course with the support of my family. So these are the important things that if someone knows how important they are to the field that they're contributing to, they would rather stay and contribute in that field.
Lori, do you have anything to add to that?
Sure, yeah. You know, I am a really strong advocate for careers in the energy sector. I, you know, have found in my own experience that it has been incredibly rewarding, that it's allowed me to have an impact in helping the environment. You know, but probably the most significant thing, two things really, are that we always are going to need energy. So it's kind of recession proof, or, you know, you could have these disruptive changes in markets, but we're always going to be using energy. So, you know, there's always work to be had in this sector. And then the second thing is that it's always evolving. New things are constantly coming along in terms of technology or market constructs, programs, investment vehicles. Like there's just all different ways that change and innovation are affecting in a positive way this industry, so that there's always something new, always something challenging, always something fun to do in the energy sector. So, you know, if you're looking for a place that has some degree of security at the same time, a lot of opportunity for creativity, I think the energy sector is a great place to have a career. And as far as STEM goes, you know, in terms of educating, choosing that, and again, this is really for men and women, but speaking to, you know, or anyone who, frankly, who's underrepresented in our industry, not just, you know, reaching out to women, is to say, it's worth it, hang in there. You know, if you have any kind of proclivity for math or science, don't be discouraged, because, you know, there aren't a lot of people that look like you, or don't be discouraged because, you know, maybe it's hard work and, you know, things were easy for you in high school, but now you get to college and it seems a little harder. Don't be discouraged if, you know, frankly, you don't get the same support as maybe some others around you are getting, that you feel like, hey, you know, this is harder for me. Just hang in there, because once you get out of college, once you get the education at whatever level you're looking to achieve, you know, there really are great opportunities in the industry. And it's a place I think anyone can build a career, thrive, and do great things and have a great impact.
I would like to add something, Lori. Remember last week when we had SeaWheel breakfast, and the speaker was talking about how companies become better when they have a female serving in their boards. They perform much better. And she even started mentioning percentages, how much better that companies will perform if they have females on their board. Do you remember that talk?
I do.
This is important for females to realize, like, it's like if you're there and sitting there, you can make the company even perform better.
That's very true. You know, we participated in a foreign policy research event around women in male-dominated industries. And some of the research that they completed showed the evidence to support that statement. The report that came out of that, Women as Levers of Change, if people are interested in going and taking a look at that, they can find it online. But it gives some really great statistical information about the benefits of having women in leadership on boards in terms of not just profitability, though that is definitely a key value of having more women engaged in leadership and management and even at the board level, but also the commitment to the environment, that corporations that have more women in those leadership positions will do better with their ESG initiatives, and care more and do more and invest more in initiatives that help our environment as well.
Those were really great responses there. And now I'm curious, in a pool of applicants, what did you do to make yourself stand out, Fatou?
Well, I would never hesitate to put myself forward. So whenever we'd asked, whether I want to contribute or be there, I wouldn't think like I'm a woman and I will not belong or I cannot perform in a certain way. So I would always raise my hand whenever there is a chance. I would like always to volunteer, stay in front of the line, push myself forward. I've never felt like I did not discourage myself because I'm a female. So that's the thing. Always put yourself forward. Take opportunities. Even if it's scary, it doesn't even show on your face. Like sometimes you would be really scared from the inside, but I mean, you just have to go and just push yourself forward. Be there, be at the right place at the right time. And even if you walk in a place where there is only you among a group of men, just don't hesitate to raise your hand and take any position that you can.
And Lori, you own your own business and you're an entrepreneur, and that in itself is very brave. So would you like to share your experience of how you make yourself stand out when you're bidding for business?
Sure. You know, it's interesting because I'll talk about it from two perspectives. One, which is, we've recently been doing a lot of hiring, so I can share what stands out to me in looking at a pool of applicants. But, as far as helping the business to stand out and, really being the face of the company, that in part means having myself stand out. The things that have made a difference are, being a certified professional. I think it's really helpful. I'll do a little plug for AEE right now, but getting that training and being able to represent yourself as having a level of expertise that's associated with the certifications can definitely differentiate you from others, or at least put you at a level where you're considered, depending on, the position and the opportunity. So I think the certifications are great. I would highlight any speaking engagements that you've had. And again, even if you're just getting out of college, but you've had a leadership position in an organization, highlight those things. Publications, AE offers opportunities for people to write articles and be published. So being able to demonstrate that you have publications, these are the kind of things that differentiate the average person from the high performer, and companies typically want to see those high performers. So it doesn't take too much effort to achieve that, to get a certification, to write an article, to, go out and present at a conference. But those things definitely show your capacity to communicate effectively, your ability to and desire to take initiative, things that are more less tangible but more about the character of a person that people are trying to discern as they're making a choice. Is it your company or is it the other company? The other thing that I did is I did get certified as a woman-owned business, and that has helped me specifically with utility work, where utilities are looking to hire diverse contractors. So that was something else that I did. But I think most importantly, it's just really to focus on excellence. If you do your best, if you put the work in, it's going to show in your product, it's going to show in your service, it's going to show across the board. And that's going to be recognized. And it's going to then be easy to get good references and have good case studies, and all of those things go into, you know, helping your company stand out. And then, you know, in terms of looking at applicants for employment, because I've been doing that as we've been growing over the last year or so, is, you know, I do look for people who have, you know, a good, like, summary statement at the top of their resume that shows me who they are. So, you know, take some time to really reflect on what matters to you and what you're looking for, what value you bring, and highlight that. And then I do look for volunteer opportunities in addition, or experience in addition to work experience. I want to see that you're capable of handling more than a 40-hour work week, that, you know, you have diverse interests, that you care. You know, I think when you look at people who have a volunteer record, there's an aspect of caring that is demonstrated from that. And that's really important. Ultimately, I'm looking for people who line up with the company's core values. And our core values spell out an acronym. It's ICARE. And it represents integrity, communication, accountability, respect, and excellence. So really, I'm trying to discern, is this a person who's going to fit into the culture of our organization, who's going to share those values? And can I see that demonstrated first and foremost in a resume, because that's the first impression that I'm getting, but then certainly in the interview process as well, to highlight those things. You know, if you're not sure of a company's core values, go to their website, because chances are they're going to put them right there for you to see. And then you could take that and look and see, is this a good fit? And if it is, in the interview process, share things about yourself that demonstrate that you are a good fit for that organization.
I think that's solid advice. And with that, Fatou, do you have anything to say for the last part of our first episode of our new podcast?
Yeah, I think it is, first of all, I would like to second what Laurie said, how important it is to distinguish yourself to the others by setting your level, by getting certified and, you know, joining the conferences. And you can even, the thing that I would like to stress, like sometimes you can come up with your own ideas, and don't be hesitant to express these ideas. Don't be shy. And just mention them to whoever is in charge. And that's what also sets you like differently from the others. What I would like to emphasize is the importance of, like, we've reached where we are, myself and probably Laurie also would agree with me, because of the support that we have received from our mentors. Yes, I'm sure that we both have very strong personalities. I mean, I think we have some leadership skills since we were born, and whether it's from the way we were raised, but still, without the right and proper mentorship, we probably would not have been where we are right now. So I would encourage every person, if they reach what they would like to reach, or a level what they feel that they're mature, to pay it forward. It is very important for us to keep moving it and pay it forward and teach others. And that's how we bring more of women and girls to STEM fields and to engineering. So paying it forward is a very important part that we need to think about. And like what Laurie said also, it is important to have to stress out our values. As females, I think we all like stress these things out when we bring up our children, when we raise them up. It is very important to set these values, make them clear, like integrity, encourage these things, and encourage everyone to stay and stuck up to their values as well. Encourage a lot of women to get together, to network. And networking requires efforts from the person himself or herself to go to the right places, like joining SeaWheel, for example. There is a lot of opportunities, but you need to seek these opportunities by yourself, and don't think that things are going to come to you. You have to go there, pursue them, and then join the crowd. That is a very important thing also to think about.
Great. Well, Fatu, Lori, thank you so much for kicking off our new podcast on such an important topic. And I really appreciate you joining us today. This has been Full of Energy, an AEE podcast. We'll see you next month.